Welcome to the Celebration Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message and learn more about God, life, and you. If you're interested in knowing more about Celebration Church, you can visit our website at celebrationemmonton.com and follow us on Instagram at celebrationedm. Enjoy this message.
Hey everybody, welcome to church today. My name is Joel, and I'm so happy that you made it out this morning. We're so happy that you're here in this place today. This morning I want to talk to you about, shoes really quick. I don't know about you, but I feel like I find confidence from the shoes that I wear. Now, growing up, you know, my parents were church planners. They planted this church. And so if you know anything about church planning, you know that you don't get into church planning for the money, okay? Like, this isn't something you do to get rich. And so my mom especially was very frugal. She has never grown out of that. She's very, very cheap. And so growing up, all my dad's preaching shirts were free shirts that he would get because my mom would spend so much money on groceries. Like, there's four kids in our house, and if you shop at Superstore and you spend a certain amount, back in the day, you'd get the free shirt with it. And these shirts were terrible. They fit like a garbage bag. And so my mom was super cheap. She didn't want to spend money on anything for us. Four boys, and everything was, a lot of things were hand-me-downs. And I went to Christian schools in elementary, and I also went to homeschool in elementary. And Christian school and homeschool, I don't know what's worse. Both of them I didn't enjoy very much. But finally, at 12 years old, I got a chance to go to a public school. Like the real deal, the school that you see in the movies, this is it. And so I got to go to public school. And I don't remember exactly what my shoes looked like, but I know they weren't great. And I went to school, and I remember this guy on the volleyball team, and I had finally made the volleyball team. I was so excited. I'm like, I'm going to make this team because of my height. I can do this. And so I tried out for the volleyball team. I made the volleyball team, and there was this one player on the volleyball team who had these shoes that I just loved. They were Adidas Superstar Shell Toes, okay? They were, I don't know if you know what these shoes are, but they're some pretty cool shoes. And he had these shoes. I remember seeing them for the first time because I was homeschooled and in Christian school before this, so there was like three people in my class. Didn't matter if I was homeschooled or Christian school, there's three people in the class either way. But I remember seeing these shoes for the first time and being like, wow. Now, he had the all-white ones with navy blue stripes. I don't even know if they make that anymore, but they were beautiful. They were our school colors, you know, Sherwood Heights Junior High, and Cougar Pride, and I remember being like, those are the coolest shoes ever. Man, I wish I could have those shoes. I remember thinking, if I had those shoes, I could jump higher, I could spike harder, I could run faster. If I had those shoes, I could be the greatest volleyball player in the world. And I remember our coach saying, yeah, you need to get a good pair of shoes for playing volleyball. And I was like, oh, this is my opportunity. This is my chance. I'm going to get a pair of these Adidas All-Star Superstars. And so we went to the shoe store. I told my parents, look, I need to get shoes. They're like, are you sure you need shoes? You do have a pair that you wear every day. Yes, Mom, I need another pair of shoes for playing volleyball. I need my gym shoes, Mom. So I remember going to the store and knowing, okay, this is my opportunity. I'm going to use this as a chance to get some new shoes. So we get to the store, and I see them. There they are on the wall. They're beautiful. They're glowing. They're twice the price of any other regular cross trainer. So in my mind, I already knew this was going to happen, but I said, let's take a shot at this. Let's see what I can do. Let's see how convincing I can be. And so we start to look at the shoes, and my dad's like, well, are any sticking out to you? He's hoping I'm going to pick the cheapest ones and be like, yes, he got the shoes he wanted. It all worked out. And I looked, and I said, well, those Adidas Superstars is actually what the coach recommended. And he was like, are you sure? I don't see how those would help you. I don't see why you need those ones. There's this pair of Brooks cross trainers on sale for $34.99. And I don't know if you know what Brooks is. I don't know if Brooks is still around. But I remember my dad being like, the Brooks look pretty comfortable. Look at the air pocket in the Brooks, the classic dad. Look at the air pocket. And I was like, no, Dad, like, we're supposed to get the Adidas. We're supposed to get the Adidas. Like, that's what I'm supposed to have to play in. He's like, I don't think so. I'm like, Dad, trust me. We're supposed to. Anyways, long story short, I had to wear the Brooks shoes. And I was like, well, better this than nothing. And I remember going to volleyball practice being so insecure, pulling them out for the first time, being like, no, these aren't brand new. I've had these for a long time. Like, I didn't just buy Brooks, but I remember being so insecure because I did not have the right shoes because my confidence came from my shoes. Can anybody relate to me this morning? There's just something about a good pair of shoes. Here's the thing. On a volleyball team, you're all wearing the exact same outfit, right? So the shoes is the one thing that you have to stand out. The shoes is the one thing where you can make your statement. You can, you know, make a point with what you wear. And man, I remember struggling pretty much all through junior high. I'm pretty sure why I'm not a professional athlete today is because I didn't get those Adidas Superstars. That's probably the only reason was those shoes. But we find our confidence from shoes a lot of times. I know I do. I know some of you ladies do. Some of you men do too. That's good. I know I'm preaching to some people this morning. But in Judges chapter 6 through 8, it's one of the greatest stories on confidence. I love this story. And the Israelites, in Judges chapter 6 through 8 is what we're going to go through today. The Israelites were yet again in a time of need. Yet again, the Israelites had messed up, and yet again, God needed to save them. And the Israelites had sinned against God, and so the Midianites had taken over their land, and they were ruining their livestock, they were ruining all their land, and they cried out to God for help. Like, God, we need you, we need you. And so God sends a prophet, and the prophet comes down, and he reminds the Israelites of what God had already done for them. Because sometimes, in order to have faith for what we need God to do, we need to remember what he's already done. And so that's what this prophet did. He said, hey, remember what I did for you. And he said, remember that I saved you. This prophet tells them that. And they were still saying, yeah, but we need an answer. We need an answer from you, Lord. And we need you to save us in our time of need. And so God sends an angel. He sends this angel, and this angel's coming to answer their prayers. And the angel finds a little guy named Gideon. Now, Gideon was the least of the least. Like, his clan was the least. They were like the weakest clan, and he was the weakest of his clan. And because of these Midianites in his land, he's hiding. He's supposed to be out in the field threshing wheat, and instead he's hiding in a wine press doing it. Like, he's like, I don't want anybody to see me. And the angel says, Gideon, you're going to be the answer for your people. You're going to be the answer for what your people need, and you're going to lead them into battle. And it says in Judges that when the angel of the Lord appeared to him, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. So here's this guy. He's hiding. He's the weakest of the weak. And the Lord says to him, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. And here Gideon is like, pardon me? It says in Judges, he says, pardon me, my Lord? But if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? You ever find yourself asking God that? Like, if the Lord is with me, why am I going through what I'm going through right now? If the Lord is with me, why did that person turn their back on me? If the Lord is with me, why am I going through this financial situation? If the Lord is with me, then why did I get fired? And Gideon questions God in this way. He says, but now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. And the Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have. Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? Go in the strength you have. I love that. I love that line. And then Gideon, polite little Gideon, you know, he's used to being polite because he's the weakest of the weak. He's like, I don't want to get beat up. And he's like, pardon me, my Lord. Go in the strength that I have. I'm the weakest of the weak. How can I save Israel? My clan's the weakest of the weak, and I'm the least in my family. See, God knew that this wasn't about who Gideon was, but it was about who he was calling him to be. And God says to him, go in the strength that you have. And the Lord said, I'll be with you, and I'll strike down the Midianites, leaving none alive. And so Gideon's like, okay, if this is for real, then I can test you in this. So Gideon puts God through some tests. He brings a sacrifice. God burns it up, shows him he's real. He brings a fleece out. And he says, God, I'm going to put this fleece out, make the fleece wet. God makes the fleece wet. And he's like, all right, I'm going to test you again. I'm going to bring the fleece out and make everything else wet except the fleece, keep it dry. And God does all these things. He answers all Gideon's prayers. He proves himself to Gideon. He's like, I am calling you. Trust me, it's you. I'm supposed to. And what's happening through all this is he's building Gideon's confidence, right? He's like, trust me, this is me, this is me, this is me. And when Gideon realizes this, he's like, all right, challenge accepted. This is my time. And Gideon prepares his troops. He's prepping for battle, and he gets 32,000 men together. So he's got an army of 32,000, and the Midianites had an army of 135,000. So the number is against him a little bit. But he's like, I can do this. And then God's like, well, hey, Gideon, you have 32,000 men. if you go and fight with these 32,000, like, this is doable. You just have to kill like 4.25 men each and you'll be fine. Like, this is doable. And so I think if you go in with the 32,000, these guys are going to think that they were just good warriors. So here's what I want you to do. I want to prove myself through this situation. So I want you to tell everybody who's afraid to go home. Yeah. And so Gideon's like, can I go home? But no, he's like, all right, I know I'm supposed to do this. So he goes in front of them and he's like, everybody who's scared, go ahead, go home. And he sends 22,000 home that day. So now he has an army of 10,000 men. And he's like, all right, 10,000, it's not the greatest. But if we all kill 1.35 men, like, we'll be able to deal with this and we'll figure it out. And sorry, 10.35 men, that was terrible math. But God's like, no, these guys are still going to think it's them. These guys are still going to think it's them. And I need to show how good I am. I need to show how faithful I am through this situation. And so he says, why don't you take them down to get some water? And whoever brings the water up to their face and drinks it so that they're, you know, they're on the defense, they're looking around, seeing what's going to happen to them, you get keep those men. But the men who just put their face in the water, they're dummies. They're going to mess up anyway. Send them home. So they go down to drink. And they go down to get a drink. And the Lord said, and so only 300 of them, only 300 of them drank out of their hands. So now Gideon's like, I'm left with 300 men? Like, are you kidding me? 300 to fight 135,000. But sometimes what we think is a tough situation is just too easy for God. He needs to make it harder to prove himself faithful, okay? And the Lord said to Gideon, with the 300 men that lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands. Let all the others go home. And then Gideon's still a little bit afraid, and the Lord can see this. So he says, go check out their army. It says in the text, if you're afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant and listen to what they're saying. And afterwards, you will be encouraged. Because sometimes we just need a little bit of encouragement. Afterwards, you'll be encouraged to attack. I think that's what we're doing in church today. Some of us need a little bit of encouragement to attack the situation that we're going to go into this week. And sometimes you just need a little bit of encouragement. That's what Gideon needed. So Gideon arrived just as the man was telling his friend about a dream he had. And his friend says, I had a dream. He was saying, a round loaf of barley bread came tumbling into the Midianite camp. And it struck the tent with such a force that the tent overturned and collapsed. And his friend said, this can be nothing other than the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, the Israelite. God has given the Midianites and the whole camp into his hands. And when Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he bowed down and he worshiped. And I think Gideon was like, it's business time. It's business time. It's time to do what the Lord's called me to do. And Gideon returned to the camp of Israel and he said, get up. The Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands. And Gideon and his men did what the Lord told them to do and defeated the Midianites. See, he took what was stolen from the Midianites and his land had peace for 40 years. Now, I don't know what battle you're going into today. I don't know what battle you've already been fighting this week, whether it's a battle of parenting. Maybe your home feels like a war zone. I know with four boys in our house, there was times where there was battles, like physical battles happening in my house. Maybe it's the battle of finances. Maybe it's the battle of divorce. Maybe you're battling with your health and you're like, God, I need you to prove yourself in my health. Maybe it's a job situation. Maybe, man, you need God to prove himself and be faithful with the job that you need. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe sometimes your marriage feels like a battle. It's not super fun to be married to the person you're married to right now. Maybe it's direction. Maybe it's depression. Like, maybe you're struggling with depression. Maybe it's a different mental illness that you're struggling with. Whatever it is, I think that life is full of battles. I don't know about you, but I think that my life, when I look at it, it's full of little battles that I go through. And battles test where our confidence comes from. Battles test where our confidence comes from. You see, Gideon's confidence could have come from the fact that he had an army of 32,000 backing him up, right? Like, he could have been like, I have an army of 32,000. We can all kill 4.35 men or whatever it is. We can do this together. But people lose their way when they put their confidence in the wrong things. Yeah. They do. So Gideon could have put his confidence in that, but when the army started to leave him, he would have started to lose his confidence because his confidence was in the army, not in the Lord. Yeah. But Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. I love this verse. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. See, whatever you lean on that's on your own understanding is temporary, and it's not enough for what you need to win the battle. Whatever it may be. Some people lean on their followers. I was just talking to somebody about this morning. Now, there's a generation of people who are obsessed with how many people are following them on their social media platforms. My dad's generation is like, how do I use social media? I think just click the button, just record the grandkids and put it up. Like, that's to them, I don't care how many followers I have. But some people are obsessed with how many followers they have. And some people are, man, some people, their confidence comes from what they own. Their confidence comes from, you know, how the vehicle they drive, or, you know, the different things that they have, how nice their house looks. Some people's confidence, some people, what they lean on is their hobbies. You know, I just can't wait to get home and get into this hobby. Some people, what they lean on is addiction. You know, they're struggling with things. Some people lean on a relationship. The things that are of our own understanding. Sometimes it's a relationship. You're like, finally somebody loves me. I'm going to put everything into that. And that's what they lean on. It's their own understanding. Finally someone loves me. And some people lean on the fact that they think everything happens for a reason. I don't think that's true. But I think that some people, you know, I think this can mess with people. When people are walking around saying, oh, everything happens for a reason. Man, that I think that's messed up. When you think about it, is that true that everything happens for a reason? No, a lot of people are bad people. And a lot of people are going through hard things. And I think that we say, oh, everything's God's will. God will figure it out. It's all God's will what's happening. No, it's not true. It's not true. But people create a picture of who they think God is instead of having a relationship with who he is and knowing who he is through relationship. People paint a picture of what they think God should be. And there's people that think that Jesus just takes away our problems. That Jesus is like, it's like Lotto 649 Jesus. You get Jesus, and everything's going to go away. Everything's going to be okay. That's simply not true. And then when he doesn't do that, and you're taught that, when you tell yourself, oh, Jesus is going to take away all my problems. Everything's going to be fine. It's all going to be, he's just going to fix everything. Then it leaves us questioning him when he doesn't. And it leaves other people questioning him, like, how can you serve a God that you're saying all these bad things happen to me on purpose, like God did these things? It's just simply not true. But if we're hungry, if we're going through times of need, we just need the proper source. Right? Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. Yes. He said, I'm the bread of life. So we just need to know to go where to go when we're hungry. Yeah. Right. We just need to know where to go when we have need. Yeah. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. Yeah. And when life gives us challenges, it's an opportunity to test our faith. When life gives us challenges, it's an opportunity to test our faith and remind us where our confidence comes from. Is God a big deal? Is God still a big deal when there's big deal things going on in your life? Is God still a big deal to you? And there's three things that I learned about confidence from Judges chapter 6-8. There's three things I learned. You're doing better than you think. I think you're doing better than you think. Oftentimes we're our greatest critic, aren't we? So I don't know about you, but I know that I'm my greatest critic. In fact, sometimes when I preach, I go and watch the live stream between services and I just critique myself. I'm like, oh, that was stupid. Why would you say that? Why would you wear this? Oh, and then I have to preach second service after that. But sometimes we're our greatest critic. But if only we could see ourselves the way others see us. See, I think sometimes we're judging ourselves. I think sometimes we're so hard on ourselves. And we're like, man, these kids are running everywhere. It's so crazy. Why am I a parent? Who let me do this? And like, why? I don't have a license for this. And there's other parents looking at us going, man, I don't know how she does it. I don't know how they do it. They're the best parents in the world. Well, we're sitting there going, I'm a failure. I can't get these kids under control. Is this, why am I doing this? If only you could see this yourself the way others see you. Because I think for every person, they're so hard on themselves, and there's other people wishing they could be just like you. But also, if only you could see yourself the way God sees you. If only you could see yourself the way God sees you. See, Gideon was the least of the least. He should not have been confident, but he knew what God had called him to do. God found him hiding, afraid. And no matter how you're feeling, you're chosen. Like, God's chosen you to do something. God has a plan and a purpose for your life, and he's chosen you to do that. Yep.
And there's times that we're going to go through life and we're going to feel like we got an army of 32,000 and we can take on the world no matter how big it is. We got an army of 32,000. But there's times in life where we also feel like that army of 32,000 has shrunk to 300. And I think sometimes that we can look back and focus on what used to be, on the position we used to have, on the title we used to have, on the money we used to have. I don't know about you, but this is a big one for me, on the friends I used to have. Sometimes I look at the friends I used to have and say, what's wrong with me that they left? What's wrong with me that they walked out on me? But then I remember. Then I remember that I didn't need 32,000. I just need who God sent me. And it's not about how many I have. It's about that I have the ones who aren't afraid and who are watching my back, who are pulling the water up and looking around and making sure we're going to be safe. But sometimes I think we get focused on what used to be. And God's saying, no, look ahead and look at what you have now. And when your army starts to shrink, don't allow your confidence to follow it. When your army starts to shrink, man, don't allow your confidence to follow it. And sometimes we need our army to shrink to 300 for God to prove himself faithful. For God to prove himself that, hey, this is happening because of me. And I think sometimes God's just pulling weeds. God's just pulling weeds in our life. And it might look like there's less in the garden, but come on, there's better stuff in the garden because God's pulling the weeds and you can see what's there. In every season, of our life, I think there should be a gap between who we are and who we want to be. I don't know about you, but this is how my house is. Like, there's little things around my house. There's a gap between where my house is and where I want it to be. You know, people come over, they're like, oh, you did such a good job renovating. It's like, yeah, but the bathroom's original, just so you know. I haven't touched that yet. I'll get to it. I'll save my pennies. It's going to happen. Or you know, like, oh, you have such a big backyard. I know the grass looks terrible. I'm going to get around to seeding it. I'm going to get around to making it. Like, there's a gap in our home. There's a gap from where we want it to be, right? From where it is to where we want it to be. And I think our lives should look like that. I think that we should constantly be moving forward so that there's a gap from where we are to where we want to be. That's healthy. That's okay. That it should look like that. Like, I don't think we should ever get to a place in life where we're like, ah, this is great. I can now sit on the couch and relax for the rest of my life. This is exactly where I want it to be. It's all good. I think it's healthy for us to have that gap. What's unhealthy is giving up on ourselves when we can't close that gap. What's unhealthy is being down on ourselves when we can't close that gap. Like, I don't give up on my house and say, burn it down, forget it, I've had enough. We don't do that to our house. We give our house the forgiveness. We say, oh, it's okay, they're a work in progress, it's all good. But, man, you gotta do that to yourself. You gotta remember that you're never gonna be perfect. There should always be a gap, and God loves you in that gap. And God, man, God's holding you in that gap. And your confidence should come from him. And every time you mess up, remember that God's plan for you hasn't changed. Yeah. Every time we mess up, every time we turn our back on him, we need to remember that God's plan for us has not changed. Yeah. So when you see, I think a lot of times when we see our imperfections, we look down upon ourselves and think, oh, how could I make this mistake again? Man, I'm so dumb. Like, how could I screw up again? How could I turn my back on God again? But when God sees our imperfections, he's like, yep, that's my child. The one who isn't sure of themselves, yeah, that's my child. Still called them, still loved them. The one who just messed up, yeah, that's my child. Still love them, still have a plan for them. The one who's mad at me, the one who's far from me, the one who turned their back on me, that's still my child. I love them so much. God sees your imperfections. He still chose you. He's still chasing after you. His plan has not changed. His plan has not changed. No matter how many speed bumps we go, no matter how many speed bumps we go over, no matter how many different detours we take, God's plan for our life hasn't changed. And when we notice imperfection in our lives, it's our chance for God to show himself faithful, regardless of how messed up we are. And I think sometimes we think, hey, we're just out in the field threshing some wheat, afraid and insignificant. But God is saying, I'm choosing you as you are in the strength that you have. In the strength that you have. And I think if we'll be confident in the Lord, we'll realize that we are mighty warriors. That's what God called Gideon, a mighty warrior. But he needed to find his confidence in God. And the Lord is calling you mighty warrior. I don't know exactly what God has planned for you, but I do know there is a plan, and I do know that you're doing better than you think. The second thing I learned from Judges 6 to 8 is that you matter more than you know. You're doing better than you think, but you also matter way more than you know. And so wherever that may be, you matter. I think even in the mall, walking through the mall, sometimes I feel that on me, that I matter in this place. That how I treat people, how I treat the person at A&W when I'm getting my chubby chicken on, you know, it matters. Like I might be, I don't know why I chose chubby chicken, but anyways, I think that we need to realize that no matter where we are, we matter. That we might be, man, this person could have been screamed at all day and had rude people towards them all day long. And maybe, man, maybe they're struggling with the language barrier. Maybe they're struggling with not being trained enough. And I just remember that I matter in this situation. Even when I'm ordering my chubby chicken, I matter. I matter to God, and that matters to this person. And so we need to remember that no matter where it is, no matter where you're going today, you matter. How you treat the person at Starbucks, it matters. How you treat your waitress, how you tip your waitress, that matters. That matters. No matter where we are, it matters. Whether that's at work, in our family, you might feel like, man, I can't stand spending time with my family. They're always making fun of me for going to church and doing my thing here and questioning it. It matters. You're in that family for a reason. You're in that family to be a light to them. You matter. Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper because you matter. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn because you matter. And Gideon could have said, God, you got the wrong guy. There's a Gideon who lives a couple towns that way. I think the angel had his GPS wrong. He had the wrong postal code. There's a Gideon down the street. And Gideon also could have said, well, I'm going to lead this army, but it really has nothing to do with me. It's all about the 32,000. He could have even said that when it was at the 300. He could have said, yeah, but there's still 300 people doing this, and I don't know if. But no, he realizes that he matters more than he knows. Yeah. And losing those men could have stolen his confidence. But Gideon received his confidence from the Lord. Yeah. Why? Because he triple checked. He's like, I'll put it out, it'll get wet. Okay, now I'll put the fleece out, it'll get dry. Like, are you sure this is me? Are you sure? But he knew that even though he was the least of the least, man, God had a plan for him. Yeah. And it didn't matter. It didn't matter whether there's 32,000 people walking with him or 300. Because he knew that he was called great and mighty warrior. Right. I think you're too important to put your confidence in the wrong things. Yep. I think God's plan for your life is too important to put your confidence in the wrong things. You're too important just to show up at church and think, whatever, I'll just take another service. You matter more than you think. You matter just to say, I think you matter so much that you need to start a connect group. Because people need to be in your home. People need to see the atmosphere that's in your home. As crazy as it might be, people need to see the atmosphere that's in your home. You need to start that connect group. You need to serve on that team because people need to see your smiling face. People need that. People need to see like how great your personality is. I think you need to invite that person that you've been thinking about inviting because to be honest, they need you to spend time with them. They need what you have. I think you're so important that your story needs to be told. And man, we love telling stories on our side screens and your story, it might not ever be shown on these screens, but it's still powerful no matter what it looks like. It might not be as dramatic as some other stories, but it's still such an important story. And I think that, you know, this drives me crazy when I hear, you know, some young people say, I don't have a testimony because maybe it's not, I didn't, and I ask them like, why do you think you don't have a testimony? Well, I've never done drugs. I never turned my, I've been coming to church my whole life. I don't have a testimony. I want to tell you that you do. That man, that your story is a sign of how faithful God has been. That man, it worked. Like the fact that you never turn your back on God, that's the greatest story I've ever heard. Like that's amazing. Your story needs to be heard. There's power in your story. Be confident who God has made you to be, but also be confident in who God is making you to be. Be confident in who God has made you to be now, but also who he's making you to be. Like I said, there's that gap. And be confident in who he's making you to be. I wish I would have timed that drink better so you wouldn't even have noticed. But it's not how it worked out today. But that's all right. Being confident in the wrong things will cause us to stray away from what matters. And I see this all the time because I've been working in youth for so long, but I see it happening with adults, is that people are confident in the relationship they're in, right? Like some nice Christian boy is, you know, going through youth, doing his thing, and suddenly a girl shows interest who is not his mom, right? Like this whole time my mom's been pinching my cheeks, telling me she loves me, but finally a girl has shown interest in me. And then they start to put all their confidence in that person. And then they start to stray away from what matters because their life becomes about pleasing the person that they're dating when it should be about pleasing God, and the relationship should please God. And I'm not just picking on your 15-year-old son who's got a girlfriend here today and you're like, yes, got him. Like, thank you. I think there's so many other things that we put our confidence in that lead us astray. But I want to tell you that you matter too much for that. You matter too much for that. And wherever your confidence comes from that's not from the Lord, it can be taken away. Like, you can lose that. That 15-year-old is going to break up in the next, like, 12 months. I promise you that. And that confidence will go away. But you're too important to put your confidence in the wrong things. You matter more than you know. You matter more than you know. The last thing that I learned from Judges chapter 6 through 8 is don't give up on God. Don't give up on God. He's never going to give up on you. Don't give up on God. There will always be a time in life when it's easier to quit than endure. There will always be a time in life when it's easier to quit than endure. And that's how it was losing that 22,000. I'm sure it was easier to quit than endure in that battle. And then going down to 300 people in the army, I'm sure that, man, it was probably easier to quit in that moment than endure. And I think that sometimes, man, we feel like we've lost so much. But we need to remember what God's promised us. In Joel 2:25, I love this promise that God says, I'll repay you for the years the locusts have eaten. I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten. And there are times in life where God will allow things to look hopeless in order to prove himself faithful. And I didn't say that God makes things hopeless. I think that sometimes we mess that up, that we think, oh, God sent this bad thing. Oh, God did this to me because, you know, he wants to prove himself faithful. No, he just allowed it to happen. It's not that he created that. Many times we create our situations and we go, oh, God, you wanted me to be in $50,000 worth of, you know, debt. No, you created that. But God allowed you to do that. And now he can prove himself faithful. Just like you need to prove yourself faithful. I think that God doesn't make these bad situations, but he does allow them. And through them, he can build our confidence in him. And Gideon could have given up. Man, he could have given up. But he went down. He went down. Even though he was afraid, he went down to the camp to hear what they were saying. He went down and he heard that dream. And here's the thing. You never know. You don't know what God's doing in the dark. You don't know what God's doing in the dark. Come on. You don't know what God's doing behind your back when you're not looking right now. You don't know what doors he's opening. You don't know whose heart he's working on. You don't know what God's doing in the dark. And when we are in crisis, God is not. When we're going through things, he's with us, but God ain't in crisis. This isn't happening to him. He's with us, but when we're in crisis, God isn't. We need to remember he made us, he loves us, and we're going to decide to remove our option to quit. Remove your option to quit. See, we all have an option to quit. And we need to decide that we're going to remove that option. That the enemy wants our minds. He wants to send things into our minds and our hearts. He'll throw whatever he can at us to make us want to quit. But we need to train our minds that no matter what, I'm not giving up on God. no matter what, I'm not turning. No matter what I hear, no matter what people say, no matter what I go through. See, that's the thing. A lot of people will agree with that point and be excited about that point. But then when they actually go through something and have an opportunity to question God, just like Gideon did, it doesn't work out. But we need to decide today, hey, I'm not giving up on God. No matter what I go through, I'm going to come out on the other side still saying that my confidence, my strength, my hope comes from Him. Yeah. When you decide you're not going to quit, when you decide you're not going to quit, your battle is won. Yeah. See, Jesus decided He wasn't going to quit. In the garden that night, in the Garden of Gethsemane that night, He wanted to quit. It said that His spirit was strong, but His flesh wasn't. His spirit was strong, but His flesh wasn't. He could have had the option. He could have said, like, He was God. He could have been like, peace. I'm going to live the rest of my life. I'm 33. I'm still in my prime. Like, I got abs. I got a life to live. He could have quit. But I'm so thankful that He removed His option to quit. That night He kept saying, not my will, but Yours. Not my will, but Yours. Not my will, but Yours. He removed His option to quit. And I'm so glad that Jesus didn't quit at the cross. Because of that, we have forgiveness. Because of that, man, we get to live a free life. I read some of the things in the Old Testament. I'm like, dear God, thank God for Jesus. We don't have to kill lambs on the stage. It's really nice. We get a really nice church service. We just get to sing and praise God. We don't have to have blood everywhere and all these crazy things. That's because of Jesus. And man, we can have confidence in the promises that we're believing for. And my confidence, it comes from Him, but it also should be in Him. So I'm not just confident, but my confidence is also in who my Creator is. And I think there's probably some people in the room this morning that you're not confident because you don't really know who Jesus is. But I'm here to tell you this morning, you just need the right shoes. Come on, you just need the, just like Gideon, man. He's testing the Lord and he's building his confidence in the Lord. You just need the right shoes. And the right shoes is Jesus. And the right shoes is coming to Him. Coming to Him and saying, God, I might not understand everything that happens in this life, but I do know that You're here for me, You love me, my faith, my hope, and my confidence are in You. Can we all stand together this morning? I hope that you leave here today feeling like you can take on the world a little bit. I hope that you leave here today and tomorrow morning at work, you realize that what you're doing there matters. Even if you feel like your position doesn't matter, that the fact that you are there is a shining light into that office, into that warehouse, into that construction site. Wherever you're going tomorrow for work, I hope you know that you matter. You matter so much. Don't give up on the plan that God has for that place. But also, there's some people in the room today that, as I talked, you're like, this God you talk about, this relationship with Jesus, the fact that I need to know Him one-on-one, I don't have that. My confidence isn't built in Him because I know that I don't know Him personally. Well, today, if you want to make a decision to give your life to Him, it will cost you nothing, but it'll also cost you everything. Like His grace, it just happens in a moment. And just like Gideon, in the strength that we have, just as we are today, we can come to Him and get that grace freely, get that mercy freely. It won't cost you nothing, but it'll also cost you everything because you make a decision to give your life to Him. You're deciding that everything you do is for Him and that your life is now for Him. So if you'd like to make that decision with me today, I'd love to pray with you. If we could all just bow our heads real quick and close our eyes, even if you're not praying this prayer, just out of respect for the people around you, just bow your head and close your eyes. And if you want to pray this prayer with me today, I'll just ask you to shoot up your hand right now so I know who I'm praying with. Awesome. There's hands all over this room. Man, what a great decision. You're making the best decision you could possibly make today. And I'm just going to pray over you. And if everybody can just pray along in agreement, let's all pray this prayer together today. Lord Jesus, I thank You that You sent Your Son for me. I thank You that You have a plan for my life. Today I ask that You'd forgive me of my sins. From now on, I live for You. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's put our hands.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. If you enjoyed it, check out more messages like this at celebrationedmonton.com or on the Celebration Church mobile app. If you would like to partner with us financially, you can give on our website at celebrationedmonton.com. Come back next week to hear another great message.